Katie O'Brien's for food. Thanks for standing up for us and getting us fed.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Teresa. Thanks to Nathan Schneider for being our guest for the last hour. Please follow Positively Revolting on Facebook. That's facebook.com/positivelyrevolting. You too can like us there. And continue to support KBOO, your community radio station, 877-500-5266. Push us over the top for that $1,400 goal. You can do it. Collective action gets the goods. We shared them with our brothers. We learned new games under the covers. How to laugh and how to grieve. We learned to trust, we learned to leave. We found this world is deeper than we guessed. We had learned a ways to love. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up this morning on Portland at 9, just now, hear a special program with Bruce Silverman interviewing Alan Weissman, the author of the best-selling book, The World Without Us. Today he's talking about his new book, Countdown, Our Last Best Hope for a Future on Earth. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, Harvey Wasserman explains that Fukushima is leaking like a sieve. Ray McGovern meets with Edward Snowden in Moscow, and Oliver Stone talks about his TV series, The Untold History of the United States. And at 11, it's The Digital Divide with Rabia Yemin. That's all coming up. Stay tuned now for this special program with Alan Weissman.
Into swimmers, she threw us straight into the river. Our minds were sharp, our bodies burning. We gave ourselves over to learning.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Friday Radio Zine on KBOO Portland. My name is Bruce Silverman, and in this hour, we're going to be talking about the human population. And I'm asking you to think about this question. What would be the optimum number of human beings on this earth? It's not a trick question, but it's a hard question. There are 7 billion of us right now, and maybe that's enough. Maybe it's not enough. Maybe there should be fewer. Think about that as I talk with our guest. His name is Alan Weissman. You may know him as the author of a book called The World Without Us, which was published in 2007. It was a bestseller, and he joined us here on KBOO, thanks to my colleague Andrew Geller. Alan Weissman now has written a book called Countdown, Our Last Best Hope for a Future on Earth. And that's followed by a question mark. Alan Weissman, welcome again to KBOO Radio.
Well, thanks. It's great to be back.
By the way, we're talking with Alan Weissman. He's on tour for this book. He will be here in Portland Monday evening. I'll give you more details about that later on. Alan, this book is about human population. As I said, there are now more than 7 billion of us. Population grew slowly for thousands of years. In fact, there were only 1.6 billion as recently as the year 1900. So not only are there a lot more people now than there were before, but the rate of increase picked up in the 20th century. What caused the rapid growth rate?
Well, you know, until around 1800, or a little bit beyond, we weren't even at a billion. Our population rate had started to creep up a little bit during the Industrial Revolution, but what really changed things was just before 1800, the discovery of a smallpox vaccine. And that was followed by several different medical advances in the 19th century: pasteurization of milk, more vaccines for more diseases, elimination of insects that were carrying epidemics, and suddenly more people were living longer, and very important, fewer infants were dying. Before that time, most babies didn't make it to their fifth birthday.
Most?
Most babies. it's hard for us to understand the pain of our ancestors. But women would have 7 or 8 kids oftentimes, and slightly over 2 on the average would survive. And that's why the population barely grew for so long. But then with the medical technology, that really changed. But what really pushed our numbers into, you know, as you say, the 20th century, where we quadrupled, we doubled, and then we doubled again, was food technology. A couple of guys in Europe, Carl Bosch and in Germany, Carl Bosch and Fritz Haber, an engineer and a chemist, invented what is now known as the Haber-Bosch process. And most people aren't familiar with that term, but it's probably the most influential invention in the history of mankind. It was a way of pulling nitrogen out of the air artificially and applying it to the soils in the form of artificial nitrogen fertilizer. And that completely blew the lid off of how much plant life could grow on this planet. Before, nature was limited to, you know, what was contributed to the soil by a few nitrogen-fixing plants. But now, suddenly, there was much more food available.
I mean, because there was much more land available that would actually grow crops.
Well, you know, the planet doesn't grow. There was the same amount of land as had always been there for humans.
Land that was made available as good enough for crops.
Well, of course. Yeah. You know, we were clearing forests at this time, and we started to slather them with fertilizers. To put it another way, 40% of us could not be here. We would not be here if artificial fertilizer had not been invented. And then in the 1960s, at the centers of what today is known as the Green Revolution, improvements for wheat and corn in Mexico and rice in the Philippines, new crossbred, genetically selected hybrids developed that could grow many more grains per stalk. And this averted famines that were widely predicted. Paul and Ann Ehrlich predicted them in the population bomb, and of course they were echoing what Thomas Robert Malthus had talked about back in the 1700s, that population growth would outstrip food production. To many people, the Green Revolution refuted Malthus and refuted the Ehrlichs. But actually, that hasn't been the case. And even the founder of the Green Revolution, Norman Borlaug, who won the Nobel Peace Prize, is credited for saving more lives than anybody in history. In his acceptance speech, he said that we've just bought a generation of time unless the forces for enhanced food production and the forces for population control join together, we're never going to be able to feed all of humankind. So today, as you said, we actually have 7.2 billion, and about a billion of us are hungry. And that number is going to increase in this century if our population keeps growing the way it is.
Well, can't we just hope that another green revolution of some sort, that we don't have the details yet, but can't we just hope that we'll find a way to grow more food? Maybe we'll all be eating tablets or something. But what's wrong with having more people?
Well, you know, those are two different questions. Okay. Let me get to the first one. To research this book, Countdown, I went to 21 different countries, and one of them was Vatican City. And in the Vatican, Pope Benedict, was still Pope at the time, I was there a couple years ago, was known as the Green Pope. He had a real environmental consciousness. He put compact fluorescents all over the Vatican and solar collectors, but he had always stated that there was room enough on this planet for everyone if we work very hard and creatively. And this is an old argument that human ingenuity can solve these problems and can come up with new methods. So I asked him, how would we feed everybody in the future? You know, we're going to add 2.5 billion people by the middle of this century. And he showed me papers that discussed projects that are going on at those Green Revolution centers for the next iteration of new crops, transgenics that would tinker with photosynthesis and actually try to kick it up by 50% so plants could produce more food and possibly even have the energy to fix their own nitrogen. So I went to the Green Revolution centers in Mexico and in the Philippines. And unfortunately, no scientists there were really in agreement. Yes, those are the things that they are trying to do. But they said that, you know, even if they can, they still don't know. It's 20 to 30 years off, and in the meantime, we're going to add billions of more people. Everybody there thanked me for putting population back on the table, just as their founder, Norman Borlaug, had done. And what they told me was that, you know, in the next 50 years, if population keeps growing the way it's going to grow, if we don't change things, they're going to have to produce as much food as has been consumed in all of human history.
Wow.
Yeah, it doesn't really look likely.
Okay. Alan Wiseman, we've started to talk about the many issues that you've covered in your extensive travels around the world to the wheat and rice research institutes and else, various countries around the world, each of which is a chapter in the book about the way different countries are approaching the population issue. But first, we need to talk about growth at KBOO, and I'm talking about growth in our finances. Listeners, this is a great book. Do not buy this book. Instead, buy this radio station. I'm not kidding. If you buy this radio station for the right amount, you can get a copy of Countdown by Alan Wiseman. And my colleague Paul Rowland is joining me now to tell you how you can do that.
Well, you can, right off the bat, call 877-500-5266. That's the number here in the back room at KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th, where we've got a bunch of volunteers ready to take your call. 877-500-5266. That's the number. And, I think we're talking about growth. We're talking about sustainability is what we're really talking about, both in the author of this book, Alan Wiseman, And here at the station, we're talking about sustaining this 45-year project, this experiment in community grassroots-based radio, which brings you authors like Alan Wiseman and the author that Ani, my...
In fact, Nathan Schneider, we just talked to. And we have people who are real thinkers, critical thinkers in today's world, with us every day here on the Morning Radio Zine and on Talk Radio. That's what we do every day of every weekday of the year for you, the community, because we think it's important to get this information out there. We think it's important to get these ideas talked about. And we know that you think it's important to listen. That's why you're here right now with us. Pick up your phone and dial 877-500-5266. Or you can do it online. You can join us at kboo.fm. And when you do that, you'll know that you are actually creating positive change for your community. You are, in fact, helping to sustain independent media, which gives us a much deeper discourse, which gives us a lot of ideas in the air that we can grab onto, we can work with, we can be inspired from each other's stories and information. That's the essence of community radio. That's what you're supporting with $5 a month, $10 a month. If you can choose to sustain us at a monthly level, it can happen automatically from your checking account, and it can be set up in just a couple minutes with one of our phone answering volunteers. So please do think about sustaining us at a monthly level, whatever you can afford from $5 on up. I suggest 1 hour's wage. Give us a call right now and talk about that option. 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm.
Yeah, we know these are difficult questions. We're all confronting a difficult situation in the world. We do try to provide a deeper perspective, a broader perspective. People like Alan Wiseman who can go around the world and really get these perspectives on what's really happening that we're not able to, you know. All of us, thank goodness we're not all flying around the world. I mean, that would be problematic. So we have individuals like Alan Wiseman who are able to do that for us and bring the information that they get, the perspective that they get with this book, Countdown, Our Last Best Hope for a Future on Earth, which you can get by calling up 877-500-5266.
That's right. Contribute at a $60 level. Get a copy of this book as our way of thanking you for supporting community radio. 877-500-5266. Bruce, back to you.
Thank you, Ani and Paul. And again, this is Bruce Silverman talking with Alan Wiseman. Mr. Wiseman, food is one limiting factor on population, or one factor of concern. What about water, not just for agriculture, but for individual use? Don't we have oceans of water, and we shouldn't have to worry about that, right?
Well, those oceans of water are saline, and we can't drink it. The oceans of water support all different kinds of life systems that are part of our biosphere, and they're utterly critical. But the number of us on this planet right now are actually changing the chemistry of the seas, because our demands on energy, you know, energy like you and I are using right now to talk to each other via electricity, are packing the atmosphere right now with so much of our exhaust that it's being absorbed by the seas in the form of heat, and the seas are warming and rising. And also, this carbon dioxide is creating, it's being dissolved in the sea, and eventually that is heading towards the direction of carbonic acid. You know, think of Perrier, only this would be very salty. It's not acid yet, but its pH is changing enough that it's starting to affect the shell. Well, you're in the Pacific Northwest. The shells of oyster larvae are starting to have developmental problems. Plankton is down. We don't really know what's going to happen to the seas because we've never seen anything like this before. So this is a concern. And now if we want to talk about freshwater, all over the world it's becoming scarcer. Again, because of a warming trend that is accentuating the temperature extremes on the planet. In the American West, we're seeing a diminishing snowpack in the Rockies, and that means a diminishing flow of the Colorado River, which is the lifeblood for everything south of the Pacific Northwest. And this is being repeated on other continents. Australia is dealing with this. Asia is dealing with this. There's going to be less water eventually coming out of the glaciers of the Himalayas. And, of course, the Andean nations, their agriculture is highly dependent on those glaciers, and they are shrinking. So the number of human beings that are demanding all this energy is really becoming problematic. And so far, we don't have really mature systems of clean, zero-emission energy that are capable of providing all that power to all the people who are demanding it.
This your research and this book touch on so many issues. Population, it really underlies so many of the other issues that we deal with from day to day. Folks, you'll have to read the whole book to see the coverage. By the way, Countdown by Alan Wiseman is a really good update on this issue. I've been following population ever since about 1970, when Ann and Paul Ehrlich did write The Population Bomb, and along with their colleague John Holdren, who, by the way, now is an advisor to Barack Obama. So maybe our current president is getting a message in his ear that the U.S. should be paying more attention to this issue. But we can only touch on each one of the sub-issues. And I want to switch gears a little bit and ask Alan Wiseman, what about what do each of the major religions say about contraception, about being fruitful and multiplying and so on?
Well, virtually every major religion and every major nationality has always said the same thing in its inception: be fruitful and multiply. They want to build a mighty nation or mighty presence on the land so they're not outcompeted by some other presence on the land. And so, you know, for example, in Judeo-Christian history, the forefathers, the patriarchs, began as polygamists. The same reason that the Mormons did much later. That's a good strategy to have a lot of kids and to fill the land as fast as possible. But as I discuss in my book, each religion, each culture eventually comes into times of scarcity, and invariably there are provisions then you can read them in the histories and the liturgies. For what you do in a time of need, in a time of urgency, when it's not a good idea to keep expanding so greatly. You know, after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those famous polygamists who we all revere, had all their children, one of Jacob's 13 children, Joseph, who's a very observant guy. I think of him as the first ecologist in recorded history. He realized that scarcity was setting in, that the earth had entered a cycle in which there was not going to be so much abundance. And he counseled the Israelites and the Pharaoh of Egypt to do as he had done. You know, he only had one wife and just two children, and he said, this is a time for conserving. You know, in Ecclesiastes, this talks about, you know, there's a time to refrain from embracing. And when I went to Muslim countries, I found many, I found Quranic scholars who showed me all the mandates from Muhammad in the Quran that we must be stewards of the earth. And there are mandates for child spacing. It's very explicit in the Quran that every child is entitled to 2 years of mother's milk, which means that a mother can't keep getting pregnant over and over again. Now, of course, extremists in every religion oftentimes interpret things for their own benefit. And, you know, I start off this book in one of the hotbeds. I figured it would get everybody's attention, Israel and Palestine, where you've had two populations whose religious extremists have been trying to outpopulate each other to be the majority in the land. And, you know, this is a little crazy because, you know, this is a land that doesn't have very much water.
Okay, I'd like to continue with that example because it's very interesting, and a few other examples that you've found around the world where, despite what the various holy books say, population is decreasing or the growth is slowing down. But first, we need to talk about paying for this one-hour long-distance phone call. Listeners, KBOO keeps its budget as low as possible. Gosh, the staff are sure underpaid. And our phone system, I'd love to replace it. That'll cost $15,000 or $20,000. But meanwhile, if you could just help us pay for phone calls like this and the one on talk radio this morning. Also, we had a guest on the phone. It costs a few dollars. And Paul Rowland and Ani Haynes are here to tell you again how you can pay for real expenses, not waste, not growth in the budget, just maintaining a really good radio station. Paul?
Yeah, thank you, Bruce. And we do have someone to thank, Ani.
Yeah, Christina. We want to thank Christina, who's become a new member this morning. Christina in Portland, we thank you for joining the KBOO family and becoming a member of KBOO today.
And we do have a goal for this hour of $750, and we're on the way to that. And we do need some more phone calls, though, to make that. We have these goals each hour of the pledge drive in order to reach the final goal of $125,000, which is seems like a lot. But after day, we make that up by having people call in to 877-500-5266. That's the number to call right here at in the back room at 20 Southeast 8th, our offices in Southeast Portland.
That's right. And you can come on in. You can visit us this morning. We have, we have people for you to meet, a station for you to tour. You can see exactly how you can get involved with KBOO and participate in your independent media resource, KBOO. You can do it at 20 Southeast 8th, or you can go ahead and just give us a ring right now. If that's more convenient, please do that. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. And know that with your $60 contribution, you can get a copy of Countdown by Alan Weissman. You're listening to Bruce's interview this morning on the Radio Zine, and you know that it's an important book that is actually giving a deeper look into the status of human population issues around the world and what that all means, to us as a planet, as people, all that. You're listening to the interview. You know why it's important. This is where we get to tell you that it's very important that you support with your dollars what your brain craves, right? Your brain needs this information. Your brain wants the community. We want to work together to solve big problems. And right now you can do something that's so simple and you can be a part of the solution. Call 877 800-500-5266 and say yes to community radio, yes to independent media, that you will go ahead and become a sustaining member of KABU at $5 a month, and that you would like to get the thank you gift of Countdown by Alan Weissman when you do that. 877-500-5266. We're looking to raise about $650 more this morning before 10 o'clock, and we do it with your help.
And, you know, we do have this news and public affairs here that we self-produced. You hear Bruce Silverman bringing you this interview this morning. We've got all morning long, we have talk radio, we've got Radio Zine, we've got Amy Goodman at 7 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday. We've got Per Fagrin, we've got all sorts of producers here at KABU and some of our fellow producers in the Pacifica world, and bringing you every day of the week this important, crucial information that you can help people make up their own minds about what's going on in the world. We don't try to beat it into you. We try to bring it to you in a good way. And we have our news every day from 5 to 6, locally produced. We're often years ahead of the mainstream media in covering controversial topics, and we frequently cover Project Censored stories in tandem with the authors recognized in print. Every day of the week, we're bringing you this solid, good information.
And it's well worth your support at 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm. If it's easier for you to just go ahead and click to our website, kboo.fm, join us that way, or pick up the phone and give us a ring, 877-500-5266. Talk to one of the volunteers that is here to take that call and to talk to you about becoming a member of KABU Community Radio. You can do it all at once. $60 is a really good way to support KABU. It's a great level for a family to do so. You can, of course, give more than that. You can, of course, give less than that. I'm suggesting people try to give monthly. Sustain us. $5 a month, you can get a copy of this book, Countdown, by Alan Weissman. Just give us a call right now, and that's 877-500-5266, or online, kboo.fm. Bruce?
Thank you, Ani and Paul. Mr. Weissman, let's get back to certain Orthodox Jews in Israel and certain Muslims in Palestine. I'm not going to get into the issue of where the borderline is between those two countries, but what's going on there?
Well, just as I said before, the ultra-Orthodox Jews are trying to become the majority, not only to outnumber the Palestinians, but also to outnumber the secular Jews. So it's a real demographic derby over there. One of the heartening things that I found was that Palestinians, though they were having large families in the beginnings of the PLO, lately that's being reversed. You know, unfortunately, they are crowded into tighter and tighter quarters, and young Palestinian women who I talk to realize that, first of all, the only thing that they can do to get ahead is to get educated and for their kids to get educated, and that's very expensive if you have a lot of kids. And in those small living quarters that they have, as the West Bank just gets more and more fragmented, it just doesn't make any sense to have lots of kids. There's just no room for everybody. So, and this is something that I found all over the world, by the way. You know, ultimately, I don't just talk about the population problem. If it were just a problem, my idea of being a clarion of doom, that just doesn't really appeal to me very much. This is a very difficult book to research. It was exhausting, and I would not have put the effort into it unless I found a lot of hope. And one of the biggest hopes everywhere, poor countries, rich countries, Palestine, Israel, is that when women get an education, that's the best contraception of all. They tend to have a few, well, first they postpone their childbearing while they're in school, and then afterwards they've got something important and interesting to do with their life that's very difficult to do.
Well,
if you have lots of kids.
The example here in the book, and I was fascinated by this, is Iran, where the Ayatollah Khamenei was able to cite in the Quran, backing for not having huge families. And this is a country rare, I think, among Muslim countries, and I don't mean this, I don't want to go too far with generalizations, they're not fair, but it's a country where women have had opportunities to be educated and be out in the world for some time. And Iran used to have a really high growth rate, and now, in just in the last 10, 15 years, it has a really low growth rate. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, after the Iranian Revolution in 1979, they were attacked by Saddam Hussein. He wanted to get his hands on an oil-rich province that's on their border, you know, just the same way he attacked Kuwait 10 years later, and figured that it was going to be easy pickings because Iran was just getting its new government organized. Well, Saddam Hussein had the backing of NATO, which, of course, had been allies to the Shah, the deposed Shah of Iran. So NATO provided Saddam Hussein with sophisticated weaponry, and this is a very sad, sad episode in recent history, also with the feedstock for nerve gas. And Iran, without sophisticated weaponry, decided to ask every female who could get pregnant to produce children to help man a 20 million man army to fight off the invaders. And they just threw waves of humans against these sophisticated weapons and managed to hold Iraq to a stalemate for 8 years. But when the war finally ended, they realized they were going to have a terrible problem in about 10, 15 years or so, when all these kids, and particularly young men, were going to grow up and they were going to need jobs. And they realized that a country filled with under or unemployed, frustrated young men gets destabilized fast because they get angry, which is pretty much Pakistan today, which is another country that I go to in this book. So what Iran did was, first of all, as you noted, the Ayatollah Khamenei issued a fatwa saying that there's nothing in the Quran that says when wisdom dictates that you have the number of children that you can responsibly care for, that you can't do anything, even an operation. He used the word vasectomy. I talked to female OBGYNs in Tehran who told me about these horseback brigades that they were on, bringing contraception of all kinds, from condoms and pills all the way up to tubal ligations, for free all over the land. They told women, and this was very important, this was a voluntary program. This was not like China's coercive one-child policy. They told everyone, you can have the number of children that you want. It's your decision. Here's the means to do something about it. The only thing that was compulsory was premarital classes, which frankly is a very nice idea. The Quakers do it in the United States. And in those classes, they discussed how much it costs to, raise and feed and clothe and educate a child. And people really got the message. They didn't need to be told because they had these big families that were really hard to take care of. And last, they encouraged women to stay in school. 60% of university students in Iran today are female, and as a result, Iran came down to replacement rate, meaning, two people have two kids, an average of replacement rate, a year faster than China did with a one-child policy. It was really an extraordinary program.
Let's talk about China a little bit and maybe contrast it with India. So everyone knows that China does have this one-child policy. It's gone on for more than a generation now. The population is still growing, maybe not as slowly, maybe not as rapidly as it was before. Being coerced to stop at one has really changed the society there, hasn't it?
Well, it has in a number of ways. Nobody likes the one-child policy. Not many Chinese like the one-child policy. Though I traveled around China for nearly a month with a lot of of Chinese ecologists, and they, and even many young people who I met, realized that it was just a necessity. It was a necessity to do something because they were growing so fast, and suddenly, like in Iran, the Chinese realized that their economy was going to be completely outstripped by their population, let alone their food production. I mean, let's not forget that just before the Chinese one-child policy, China went through what was probably history's most horrendous famine. Up to 40 million people died. I mean, it was just astonishing. So they had to put the brakes on it somehow. They chose a coercive method. And today, there's probably 400 million fewer Chinese as a result. However, today, many Chinese social scientists believe that it's no longer necessary, partly because it's ingrained. China's becoming more and more urban, and people in urban areas, you don't need a lot of kids to be farmhands. And again, you're in close quarters, and it's very expensive, so people tend to have just one child. Maybe, you know, they'll have two. There's about a third of the Chinese fall under one exception or another to the one-child policy. It just seems to now be culturally accepted. At one point, I was talking to 400 students at Guangzhou University, and these were some of the brightest, most animated students I've ever run into anywhere. And at one point, I realized something, and I asked, are you all only children? And they admitted that they were. And I said, well, you know, there's a feeling in the rest of the world that there's something really unnatural and distorted about that. And but you guys seem psychologically healthy. How do you feel about this? And they all told me that, yes, they missed having siblings the way that their parents had, but they understood because you walk outside. I mean, these are kids who have this tremendous opportunity now because China has all this economic and educational growth. But they walk outside, and there's such a pall hanging over Guangzhou, which is in one of the great industrial areas of China, that you can literally look at the sun. It's just this pale disk behind the smog. And they know that environmental destruction fueled by so many people using fuel could completely quash their plans for a future. So they believe that it's really important. And what they told me is that, you know, we've kind of reinvented our families. Our cousins are our siblings, our best friends are our siblings. And it reminded me how flexible human beings always are in times of need, and that there are steps that we can take.
You're listening to Alan Wiseman, author of Countdown, on the Friday Radio Zine on KBOO. My name is Bruce Silverman. There are some other countries where population growth has slowed down for the reasons you were just mentioning. Countries modernize. Folks don't need a huge family to tend the cattle and the crops. I'm thinking of Japan, Russia, Italy, actually most of Western Europe. Can you make any generalizations, or is each one a different case?
Well, the ones that you mentioned are each different cases, but let's look at them. Italy's very interesting. I mentioned earlier that I went to the Vatican. Italy, you know, is this Catholic country that surrounds the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vatican is populated by 1,000 people, nearly all of them male, and they say that it's a sin to use birth control. And Catholic women in Italy don't pay very much attention to them. Just like here in the United States, 98% of Catholic women either are using or have used contraception at one time because it's a personal choice. If there's one message I want to make very clear about this book, is that governments shouldn't be making these decisions for us as to what we want to do with our reproductive rights. What they should be doing, though, is making contraception available to as many people as possible and let them decide for themselves. Because if you combine that with female education, the decision is going to keep bringing the population down to a more sustainable level throughout the world. Now, Russia's situation is kind of an anomaly, and it's not a very pretty one. They have a low, they have a high mortality rate, and they have a low life expectancy. It's a country, unfortunately, with a lot of alcoholics, and it's a country that has a level of HIV infection that's about 12 times that of Western Europe. I'm not going to get into all of what goes on in Soviet society that unfortunately promotes such a sad situation, but that is really the issue there. Japan, where I went to look at really the first developed nation that is now facing a shrinking population, their numbers are actually going down. It's a situation that dates back to the end of World War II, which they lost. And some people will remember that World War II began because the Japanese needed more land to expand a growing population that was filling up their islands. So they invaded Manchuria, and then, of course, they kept going. And then that didn't work out well. So when their soldiers came home, just like our soldiers came home here, their baby boom commenced. But having lost the war, their economy was in tattered, and suddenly there were 10 million more Japanese, and there was serious starvation. So in an emergency measure, this was before birth control pills, of course, Japan legalized abortion, and millions of Japanese women partook of that very difficult choice, of course, but they didn't want to watch more babies die of hunger. So as a result, when that previous overgrown older generation dies off, as it's starting to do, it's going to be replaced by a much smaller generation of truncated baby boomers. And you combine that with the high education opportunities in Japan, particularly for women, and it's got a very low fertility rate. And the reason why I wanted to go there was to talk about a question that always comes up. Well, you know, for economies to be healthy, they have to grow all the time. So how can we do that with a shrinking population? Because you always need more consumers and you need more laborers for economic growth. Though, frankly, economists who are constantly reciting that mantra, they're a little disingenuous, because the idea of more laborers, pro-growth economists love big populations, because the larger the population, the cheaper the labor becomes, because you got more people, poorer people fighting for a few, you know, jobs, and they can keep the wages down. A Japanese economist, a very distinguished one, told me that as Japan now inevitably has to transition to a more sustainable economy that isn't based on constant growth, it's actually going to be very good for workers, because they're going to be fewer and more valuable, so wages are not going to go down. But if demand gets to be less, then working hours will go down. So the way that we're going to redefine prosperity in an economy that isn't constantly growing and growing, like a Ponzi scheme or a chain letter, is by having more leisure time to really enjoy more breathing space as the world gradually comes down to a much better balance between humanity and the rest of nature. And a large part of this book is devoted to nature. How much of it do we need to ensure our own viability as a species?
When we come back, I'm going to ask Alan Wiseman, author of Countdown, about another country that has an economy based dedicated to growth, a country that has been involved in colonialism and what effects that has on population control. And, of course, I'm talking about the U.S. But first, I want to ask you to call 1-877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm. You can probably do it before we get back to our conversation. Talk to one of our phone answerers and tell them you want to help KBOO pay the bills. And Paul Rowland and Ani Haynes are here to help
well,
me
thank you. Thank
tell you,
you
about
Bruce.
That.
It's wonderful to be with you this morning here on the second day of KBOO's Fall Membership Drive. And why is it wonderful? It's wonderful because, in fact, our membership drive is how KBOO stays independent. It stays grassroots and connected to you, community members, who give a damn enough to support it, to support this community of ideas and free thought and connectivity with just a few of your hard-earned dollars. So if you can afford right now $60 to put into your community media resource, KBOO, give us a ring at 877-500-5266 and do just that. You can bring a credit card to the phone and become a member instantaneously, or you can set up that $5 a month electronic fund transfer and become a sustaining member of KBOO. You could even have us bill you, and you could send in a check. If that's the way you want to do it, we want to make it easy on you. Just give us a call at 877-500-5266 and let us know you're there, you care, you're listening, and you value what we're doing. You enjoy knowing that you have an independent media resource that is really driven by volunteers who do it out of a passion to share information, to dig away the sort of pablum of the mainstream media, to bring you information you can use that's deeper, that connects what's going on with what you actually see around you and provide some analysis. So do give us a call right now for your $60 contribution. You could be thanked with a copy of Countdown by Alan Weisman. It's an important book updating the status of human population issues. You know, this conversation I find fascinating. Bruce and Alan have just discussed one of the major ways of reducing the population. It's not really any kind of draconian measure, but is in fact to bring up the education level and literacy level of women that is tried and true around the world. It's an amazing thing that happens there. So, you know, it's an important perspective to look at many different solutions to this pervasive problem, and also what is really underneath that problem, what is going on there with surplus labor and the march of capitalism. All of that stuff plays into the population issues. You're hearing it discussed. Pick up the book, Countdown by Alan Weisman, as a thank you gift to you with your support of $60 here at KBOO, 1-877-500-5266. I also want to thank some restaurants who have contributed to KBOO this morning. Katie O'Brien's at 2809 Northeast Sandy Boulevard, Aprisa Mexican Cuisine, 2311 Southeast 8th, or Marrakesh at 1201 Northwest 21st Avenue. They've all supported us, and now we need to hear from you.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate what Alan's talking about, that education, and that's what we try to do here at KBOO. I believe we have an educated listenership, and if you value the education that you get on a day-to-day basis here at KBOO, I would definitely encourage you, as Ani has, as Bruce has, as we have been on this for 2 days now, on our membership drive, 877-500-5266. That's the number to call.
We still need to raise about $600, just a scooch less, but about $600 before the 10 o'clock hour, and we can do that with your help. Right now, it's collective action that gets the goods. 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm.
Thank you, Ani and Paul. Coming up on the Radio Zine, at 10 o'clock, it's Air Cascadia with Chris Andre. And at 10:15 Flashpoints, they're going to have Edward Snowden on. The other stations talk all about him. Here on KBOO, you'll hear Alan Snowden and Edward Snowden and Oliver Stone is also going to be on Flashpoints. And at 11 o'clock, it's The Digital Divide with Rabia Yemin. Alan Weisman, author of Countdown, is going to be speaking in Portland Monday night at Powell's Books at 7:30. That's the City of Books on West Burnside Street. Alan Weisman, the United States. Okay, our population is still growing, although you would think we would know better. We use resources more than people in most any country, although the Chinese are learning to overuse resources.
Well, they are, but again, 40% of their manufacturing is coming to our big box stores.
Right, so. Right. So we're the ones who are using up the resources ultimately. Are we the only country that has or at least still believes in growth as the answer to all problems, not just population, but growth in the economy, growth in your batting average, growth in the size of your family, whatever? Is this our religion or what?
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong in growth in people's batting averages. You know, athletics is a fun thing that we do, and we all want to excel at what we do. And you know, I'm not just joking here, because I sometimes hear it expressed by pro-growth economists that, you know, that sheer growth is the engine of creativity, and without it, we wouldn't be creative. And, you know, we had a pretty stable population up until about 1800, and there were these guys like Shakespeare and Mozart. I don't really think that they were restricted in their creativity, because they were not being pushed by overcrowding and population into some ingenious new forms. It's kind of a mantra everywhere. You hear it all the time. You know, here in the United States, on some, I'm not talking about your community radio station, but some so-called progressive radio stations, you will just hear a reporter saying, you know, without even thinking about it, good month for the economy last year, last month, housing starts were up by 1%. I mean, come on, that's more sprawl. That's more infrastructure that we have to, that we have to pay for and build. That's more, you know, most cities were either located originally by water sources or by good farmland. So we cover up more farmland all the time as we keep spreading out, and we use more water the more we keep growing. I was fortunate enough to interview in many different countries economists who are realizing that it's just simply biophysically impossible to keep growing forever. And they are planning for how we are going to transition over a period of decades into a steady state, stable economy. And these are not just people in a sort of ivory academic towers that don't have a connection to reality, you know, as if the economists in Wall Street have a connection to reality. These are people who are trying to grapple with reality, and part of the reality being that we have to factor into economic costs the nature that we are using. And I follow ecologists through parts of Latin America and in China who are part of a worldwide project called the Natural Capital Project that are showing that when there's a balance between nature and farmland, for example, that their crop yields actually go up because they're benefiting from the pollination and the pest controls of nature. You know, the birds, bats, small reptiles, and insects provide these services. And, of course, trees. You know, I traveled around China watching them try. It's the most expensive environmental mitigation program in history. They're trying to put back trees, $40 billion worth of trees that were cut down mistakenly, and now China is suffering combination of droughts and floods alternating, as is happening in so many other parts of the world right now. This is very, very problematic. Fortunately, economists are showing that if we bring population gradually down, we can also gradually transition to a much saner economic system. And by the way, it's one that conservatives, actually, when they think about it, they will like, because the reason our economy keeps growing now is that we use deficit spending and debt. We create debt every time we loan money, and that's what expands the economy. But of course, you know, it's like a chain letter. It eventually collapses, as we saw in 2008, and as I fear we're going to see again. An economy for a shrinking and then a steady state population. Once we get to a population that really seems to be in some kind of, you know, an optimum balance with the rest of nature, will be a balanced budget.
Okay, we need to take one more brief break, and then when we come back, you know, this book is not all gloom and doom. There's a lot of good news here, what's going on in other countries, and that which happens in the U.S., the effect the U.S. has on the whole world, on the economy and on population elsewhere, that's policy, and citizens can change policy. Here at KABU, the members of this station have very much influence on how we run the station. That's how we do it here. And Paul and Ani are going to tell you how you can be an owner of the station, which enables you to vote in board elections and give us feedback about the programs we carry and to pay the bills. Paul,
you pay the bills. You can also sit on advisory committees, which actually help to govern this radio station, because we are a 45-year experiment in grassroots participatory democracy. We are a 45-year experiment in independent media and in a community that is driven by volunteers and fueled by our listeners. That's you. Right now, we need your fuel to keep us going. We have these membership drives scattered throughout the year so that we can, in fact, fund the effort to bring you unfettered information, unfettered by corporate interests, unfettered by the ruling elite. We bring it because our volunteers are passionate about digging deep into the analysis that you need to make right decisions and take right action in your life. That is the essence of KABU. We are the hub through which many communities communicate. Right now, you can be a part of making that strong. That's 877-500-5266, just like Wayne has done. Wayne renewed his membership in Portland, and we are looking to raise close to $600. But, you know, we can do that together with your help right now. 877-500-5266.
You know, Alan Wiseman was talking about being connected to reality and the fact that a lot of these continual growth-based economists are sort of disconnected. As we know, the Wall Street people who applaud the continual rise of the stocks on Wall Street. Well, we're trying to our best to be connected to reality and to help connect you to reality. And that's what we're all about here at KABU. So if you support that, if you like this kind of being connected directly to, I mean, these are difficult questions. We admit these are big questions, but they're things that we can break down for you. We can help people to understand better. The way to help connect you to our reality here at KABU is to call 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm.
That's right. You'll be glad you did. It just takes a couple of minutes, and then you'll know the experience of being a member of community radio. If you have not been a member before, but you've been listening for a while, I took a call yesterday from a man who said that he had been listening for a number of years, but had always been, well, resistant to paying for something that he could get for free. But he finally, you know, there were words that sort of broke down that resistance, and he felt like this was that moment. This was the moment where he needed to support what he'd been listening to for years, that he finally got that. That makes sense. He's an important part of that equation. That's how we can keep doing what we do. And right now, I want you to know, I'm going to say that man is listening to the radio differently today because he understands that his money, his own energy is a part of what is keeping us going. Right now, you can actually go ahead and experiment a little bit too. If you have not been a member of KABU before, give it a try. And I guarantee the next time you'll turn on the station, you'll hear it a little differently. You'll know that you are an active participant in community radio. And it starts with your call at 877-500-5266. Consider sustaining us at just $10 a month. It's easy to do. It comes painlessly out of your checking account and supports KABU and the many communities that we serve throughout the year. Please do join KABU right now. Sustain us. $5 a month, $10 a month. Pick up the phone and have that discussion with one of the volunteers answering and find that rate that works for you. We just need to know you're there, you care, and that you support us with a little more of your money. 877-500-5266.
Thanks, Ani. And remember that with a membership of $60 or more, you will get a copy of Countdown by Alan Wiseman. In this interview, we have had time only to touch briefly on the many aspects of the population issue. But if you read the book, you'll find it's a comprehensive coverage and update of an issue that everyone should know about. Alan Wiseman, we're just about out of time. All we have time for now is to tell people, I want to tell people, this book does have good news. Real quickly, there's one statistic you mentioned in the book. About half children, if the average number of children born by a woman on the earth today decreases, this is average, by half a child, the population will peak at one point. But if it increases by half a child on average, what are the numbers here?
Well, here it is. Right now, we're headed to 11 billion by the end of the century, but that's dependent on the current availability of contraception.
Mm-hmm.
If it gets cut just a half a child more per woman, we'd be going to $16 billion. And, you know, the U.S. government through USAID is the biggest funder. Romney and Ryan wanted to cut that funding. Now, if we made contraception available to everyone in the world, it'd be a half a child less per woman, we'd be going to $6 billion, which would be much more sustainable.
That's even less than we have now.
And the cost of doing this would only be $8.5 billion a year, which is what we were spending a month in Iraq and Afghanistan. This is imminently affordable, and if you combine it with female education, we could have a world that would not only be more sustainable physically, but it would be more equitable socially. I mean, this is a win-win situation.
Okay. Alan Weisman, author of Countdown, Our Last Best Hope for a Future on Earth. Thank you so much for joining us on KABU. Alan Weisman will be speaking at Powell's Books on Burnside this Monday night at 7:30. The book is priced at $26, but if you join KABU right now, you for $60 or more, you will get a copy of this book with your membership. Alan Weisman, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Stay tuned now for Air Cascadia and more public affairs on 90.7 KBOO Portland. This is Bruce Silverman. Thank you for listening.
Don't let Rupert Murdoch control your newscast. The KABU Evening News provides breaking news about local issues, from water fluoridation to immigration raids. We bring you daily coverage of what's going on in Portland, Cascadia, and around the world. Tune in every weekday at 5 for the KABU Evening News on KABU, your community radio station.
This is KBOO Portland, where the time is approximately 10:01 a.m. Coming up, it's Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, Harvey Wasserman explains that Fukushima is leaking like a sieve into the Pacific, Ray McGovern meets with Edward Snowden in Moscow, and Oliver Stone talks about his TV series The Untold History of the United States. At 11, it's The Digital Divide with Rabia Yemen, featuring a preview of the new exhibit Sherlock at OMSI, plus a special surprise. Stay tuned!